Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV podcast. We are here in the studio for this one. I am Paul Machen. I'm joined by the wonderful Chris Pajak and the normally wonderful, effervescent James Sutton, who is still recovering from his weekend back at Anfield.
I'm so chipper today, are you,
it's
buddy?
It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday and he's still ruined.
Tuesday's the worst day, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you get proper banged up on the weekend, Tuesday is like...
It does depend when you stop, really, to be perfectly honest, because if you stop on Saturday, no, is the answer.
I'll let the viewers figure out when I stopped drinking.
As I say, over the age of 30, two-day hangovers are definitely very much a thing.
It's great to be here.
It's great
I'm
to
really
be
glad here. That there's some really hot lights as well, and it's really bright. Oh, and there's people watching.
Yeah.
This is...
absolutely tremendous.
I've had nightmares.
At least you turned up. A lesser person wouldn't have turned up for this, and we've had plenty of guests who have flaked out on us in much better states than you're in today. So thank you so much to Jason.
My favourite of all time was when he came after the wedding.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Yeah, he did a final word show, having basically not watched the match. He watched the match on his phone in the middle of a wedding on a table.
Watch the match is... That's,
yeah, it's a stretch.
That's a stretch. I knew it was on. But I managed to get through it, didn't I? Ish.
The fact that we keep referring to it suggests that probably not quite so much, but it was fine. We've known James a long time. We love James very deeply. And that's why you're here for this. Right, I just want to draw people's attention to, I was meant to have my laptop connected so you can see this on the screen, but I didn't because I'm a dick. But if you go to at the Redmen TV on Twitter, we have been nominated in the Football Content Awards. We're in three categories this year. So you can see, when it's back called the Football Blogging Awards still, two of our awards are still on the set right now and they're wonderful. We have been nominated in Best in Video, Best Content Creator, and the girls have been nominated in Best in Women's Football as well. So you can go, you're right, I am voting for at the Redmen TV in at the FCAs for hashtag Best in Video and then so on and so forth. But if you just see the pinned tweet on our Twitter account, that'll do that. And you just have to copy and paste. It's dead easy. We're up against Arsenal Fan TV in both of the men's categories, which means we're basically going to lose. But that's not right. Super popularity contests, so it's up to you at home. I can only vote so many times off my own accounts.
It can't be close between you and Arsenal TV.
No, they'll batter us.
No, they will. They walk every. It's like when you put Mo Salah up for a public vote.
Get involved.
It's not a criticism of Arsenal Fan TV, but I mean, it's just people shouting.
Yeah.
For ages.
Yeah, well, you know.
For ages.
For ages and ages and ages. It's spread as well. What's that video of that lad who looks a little bit like James shouting in his car?
Yeah.
But
I got so many messages yesterday going, why have you put on a stone and a half and a whinging about Arteta? Bunch of bastards.
That's great.
Who needs mates when like that?
Yeah, we're going to bang this drum for a few weeks anyway, but do get your votes in early because that helps definitely. Hopefully Arsenal Fan TV is so big they'll get bored of thinking about it, but they do. They're literally, I often joke that if you had like a competition to design a speed awareness poster and Mo Salah entered it, you know, like in a kid's school, Mo Salah would win it on public vote because he wins absolutely everything. So yeah, Arsenal Fan TV a bit like that. So let's beat them. I love Robbie, but let's beat him. Let's beat him into the ground in the FCAs. Okay, we've got kickoff questions. I want to dive right in right now with the big burning question.
In a question at the beginning.
The big burning question. Wow. from Jim Brown. Jim LFC, 1969, says, simple. Does Robbo get back in if fit on Saturday?
100%.
Wow.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, Tsimikas has been a complete revelation. I don't think anyone expected him to hit the ground running quite as fast and quite as aggressive as he did. And, you know, the highlight reel from the weekend, speaks for itself. I mean, the kid's, you know, he's an animal, you know, and he's grabbed his opportunity in the season with both hands. However, Andy Robbo is, as I think Jurgen Klopp references at the weekend, is world class. Is one of the best in that position in world football. And if he's fit, then it's Chelsea. That's a very, very different kettle of ballpark to playing Burnley.
Kettle of ballpark? Did you stop drinking last night?
It's a Suttonism, mate.
Look, if you're going to point out every time I say something mental on this chat, we're going to be here a long time.
Good point. Well presented.
But no,
especially if you start pointing the ones out I say wrong as well.
Yeah, but no, look, I can't imagine a world where Andy Robbo doesn't start if he's anywhere close to full fitness. And from the videos that we've seen and from the kind of, you know, the chat around him, it seems like he's bizarre, weird that he's come back so quickly from what was, you know, apparently quite a bad injury.
Yeah, well, there was a time I was there, not too far away from it because it was in the corner nearest us at Anfield, and the noise and the reaction around it had you thinking it was horrendous. And, you know, we were all sort of going, okay, international break, let's get through this first three games. But look, if he doesn't, that's an amazing show of support for the development of Kostas Tsimikas, isn't it?
It depends whether he's fit, doesn't it? Because we won't know whether he's fully fit. He might be 90%, and I'll tell you what, I'd probably still play him at 90%.
Well, this is the point, because I think our experience of Klopp, I know he likes to rotate, but he's also got his best boys, and his best boys play even when they're not 100%.
That's the thing. It is, like, right now, as James sort of said and alluded to, is that Robbo's world-class. Tsimikas has had two good games of football.
Yep.
There's a big difference between world-class and having two good games of football. So for me, Robbo goes back into the side, and not just because I think he's the better player, all told, moreover, the fact that he's played Chelsea before, he knows what he's coming up against. And that's the thing where, for as good as Tsimikas has been, these are all new experiences for him. He's not been tested like Robertson, Van Dijk, Matip, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Alisson.
Yeah.
There's a back five that pretty much played against everybody you're going to come up against this season.
Yeah.
So that's the type of team that's the type of defence that we're going to need to defend Chelsea, who are in good form.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and again, we'll do that in more depth and detail. We're going to talk a little bit about Chelsea later on in the pod. And of course, we have the build-up show to come later on this week as well. We have a second kickoff question from Neb, the Nebinson. Says, which Liverpool player would you want as a son-in-law?
Jordan Henderson.
Kenny Dalglish wants it, then Kenny Dalglish literally was like, you'd be proud to have him be your son-in-law.
Was pushing his daughter gently towards Jordan. No, it's Jordan Henderson, isn't it? You want someone that, you know, is going to carry on your legacy. And my legacy is not quite as good as Jordan Henderson. So I'm hoping that I can kind of live sort of through him. Yeah, vicariously through him.
As a man who once played Jordan Henderson in a Red Men TV Christmas special.
Oh my God, I did!
That was good fun that day. That was the day when I was going, I want you to do the Jordan Henderson accent. You did it. I went, no, a bit like this. And you went, like, why don't you just do it then, Paul? I was like, okay, sorry, actor. Sort of kind of upset the acting sensibilities. Chris, who would you have as your Liverpool son-in-law?
Jimmy Milner, yeah.
I like how you've both gone so far with basically the least, what's the intimidating options that you could have probably could have picked here?
People that, you know, you can trust. With my daughter, you know what I mean, for a start. It's got to be someone trustworthy. I'm not saying that the others aren't trustworthy, but I just know that James and Jordan would be.
You're effectively picking someone your own age as well. I know there's going to be a massive age disparity, whoever we pick.
Have a little Ribena with him on the side and that, like, you know what I mean? And then when he hangs up his boots, we'll be drinking.
Yeah, there's definitely a category on websites for this kind of stuff, like, you know, but I'm not sure who it would be, because you're right. I think the whole dad thing, you'd want to go with someone quite sensible and straight-laced. I wouldn't want it to be like someone like Harvey Elliott, lovely lad, but like, it just because he's got like
he's got mad hair and he does mad hair things and he looks like a bit of a character and stuff. And it just like, he strikes me as someone who would be driving fast cars and doing dangerous things. And I wouldn't want my daughter in that situation.
There's got to be some considerations how old my daughters are actually thinking about it. You know, 7 and 4 going with James Milner, probably a little too young. I take it we're talking in the future here.
Yeah.
Sounds.
No, you're going to
nobody is suggesting that for a second.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we're not. It's just what you saw about Harvey Elliott. It's like the age gap's not so bad.
It's not so bad.
Oh, dear.
Still, yeah, we're still defining bad then, aren't we? Imagine, yeah, I mean, I guess, I mean, your logic, your age, you're adding between 12 and, you know, 10 and 15 years onto your children, yeah. So that they are, but then you're adding 10 to 15 years onto the Liverpool film, players.
Listen, if the doorbell rings and you open it and Harvey Elliott is there asking to, that he's ready to collect your daughter, there's questions are going to be asked, let's be frank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same with, like, I love Kurt Jones, like, but I can't imagine anyone wheeling up to my house to knock on the door. Like, can I take your sister out? Not without a helmet, mate. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I will say, that's what I mean. As a dad, you're looking for sensible dependability. These are still young men, still sowing the wild oats, and that scares me. That terrifies me to my core. So what you want is, you want someone who's proven to be settled down a little bit more, absolutely. Andy Robbo, because also, much bigger than him.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, okay, look, he's in much better physical shape than I am and never have been, you know, and he's obviously made of girders. But I reckon if I was to catch him, I could do some serious damage. Whereas, no. Like, Jordan Henderson is a big lad. He's still quite small, so maybe. But he's also just he's built of rock, isn't he, James Milner? He's like those, I don't know if you ever remember these, I can't even remember what it was called. There was a cartoon series that was a bit like Transformers, but, like, they transformed into rocks. It was a shit concept. Sounds as shit as it was, but yeah, that's basically what
it is. Just another one of those obscure cartoons that you know about 100%. That no one else knows.
Okay, what about like the little things at the start of Frozen, the little rock creature things? There you go. That's basically James Milner's the leader of them, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, looks like one as well.
Who would you have as your Liverpool player son-in-law? Let us know in the comments. We've got some super chats which we'll get to after the break, because we're going to start to talk about Burnley. A look back on Burnley and how we all felt seeing crowds back in Anfield for the first time, and some of the high points from that game, of course. And then we're going to move things on. We're going to talk a little bit about transfers, a little about the rest of the Premier League, and then a little look ahead to Chelsea as well. Lots of little things. We do have a very short break before we do that, of course. We've got an amazing competition running, talking about the best potential son-in-law option in the world. We've got an exclusive Jordan Henderson competition for you guys. Check it out. Hey, what's happening? Competition time. Phenomenal, world-class, completely exclusive prize for you guys this month. It is a Jordan Henderson 10 Years of Red commemorative box. These are not for sale anywhere. You cannot buy these. It has got the book in there. It has got the DVD of the series in there. There is a t-shirt, there is a mug, there is a poster as well. It's a money can't buy prize, and you can win it by signing up to the redmentv.com, a club legend level over there as well, or by upgrading your existing subscription to club legend as well. It's as simple as that. Not only do you get that incredible competition prize, but you get amazing content streamed exclusively for you each and every month. Documentaries, features, interviews, and bonus Red Men TV shows as well. It is a wonderful experience. It's like Netflix for Reds. And yes, in addition to all that, of course, you get to join our Discord group, which is full of wonderful club legends like yourself, and enter into those competitions each and every month. Join up now, enter the competition to win the Hendo 10 Years of Red exclusive commemorative box, and good luck. Yeah, get involved. Money can't buy prize available right now for those of you. Sign up at Club Legend or upgrade your existing subscription to Club Legend on the redmentv.com. And of course, you get the full Jordan Henderson documentary and all the full length interviews for all the people who contributed to it as well, which is amazing, and loads of other amazing stuff as well. Burps. Right. The question, the Deaf Mute Studio, our good mate Dan said, is the show Paul's talking about called the GoBot? Absolutely not. Followed up by Charlie the Red, who said, I think that was Rock Lords.
There you go. Thank you very much. I don't know if that's the case, but yeah, I'll find it in a minute. Right, we had some super chatage come in. Connor S says, not the type to well up, but the crowd and the atmosphere hit me on the weekend. I completely agree with that. James, you were talking about it before. It was, you used the word special. I said it was a bit like getting to go back to Anfield, going to Anfield for the first time again.
Mm. I was quite emotional. I don't mind admitting to you. Walking up towards the stadium, and we got there quite early, and even there was a buzz really early on. I mean, I know it was an early kickoff, but we were there at sort of quarter to 11, and there was a real buzz there already. And yeah, just, you know, all the faces and the people and, you know, the songs and just everything that you've missed. Forget about the football itself. You know, everything else that makes up a day at Anfield is, you know, is special. You know, it really is. And yeah, 500 and something days, I think we were
528 days.
528 days since that.
Had to Google it because I said it at the start of my blog.
and then shit myself that I'd somehow got it wrong and waited for corroboration. But yeah. Fine. Yeah, I thought it was great. And I thought, you know, I thought all the lads did really well. And I thought the crowd were great for huge parts of it. The songs were fantastic. And, you know, and it was great to see the Burnley fans leaving early. I've really missed away fans.
Show them the way to go home.
Show them the way to go home. They're very tired and they want their bed.
And also
for me, I think I mentioned this on the Final Word show. It was at the beginning before the game when we got to thank everybody who's passed and have that little sort of minute there. And then Jordan taking the wreath down and laying it before the cop and stuff like that. And that was where it really got me, like, you know what I mean? Goosebumps all over and stuff like that. And then singing Justice for the 97. And that was the special part of it for me. And it's like, you sort of said it like this the other day. It's just like drawing a line under all the crap that everyone's gone through and then going, now we move forwards together. And that was kind of what I felt going in there. But also, just, you know, I've not seen James, who I go to match with, since Atletico. In fact, he never came to the Atletico game or never sat with him during the Atletico game. So it would have been even longer since I've seen James. And it's like just catching up and having a party. He's had a kid and he's got one on the way since I last saw him at the match. Jesus Christ. And there will have been loads of those sort of little things that have sort of happened between people who only see each other when they go to the game. Yeah. So just catching up there and having a couple of pints beforehand and just generally meeting people at half-time. And, you know, even like driving there, I put a tweet, I was saying I missed match traffic. Like 10 minutes after I tweeted that, I hated the match traffic again. But like just walking to the ground, and as you say, we got there fairly, it was like 11:15, it was full, and it was just like, and like I looked around and I said to you, it was like, should we play Count the Masks? And there was no masks in sight, and it was just like everything just started again. It was just a reset button.
Even the fella who looks after the car park where I park my car at there's like an Irish supporters, Irish pub, but a few half a mile away from the stadium. He was delighted to see me. This fella like remembered me from like, you know, the Atletico game and was like, James! And I was like, hello, mate. It was just lovely little things like that, you know?
The only thing I didn't get to hear is I didn't get a run all over the land, Liverpool fans in Supan. Did you hear that? Yeah, that was the only thing that was missing from me.
Selling just outside the gate which you come out of the cop from. Yeah. So yeah, got that right at the end as I was leaving. Yeah, the whole shebang. The one thing actually, because the overall feel the positivity in Liverpool being brilliant at footy makes a big deal about this as well. It's all well and good, right? Telling people that the pints are £2.90 and telling them to get in and out. Yeah, no, for a start.
They were cans. Carlsberg.
Yeah.
500ml, not a pint.
Telling people that that it's cheap ale and to get in early, but then you then queued for an hour to get a bevy, which was ridiculous. So so normally I would go in and get some food and get a drink, regardless, as I tend to get in an hour before kickoff anyway. And I couldn't do that because it was chock-a-block because of everything. So they told everyone to get in, but hadn't made the concessions more readily available as a result, which is a bit stupid. But it's
like our cans weren't even out the fridge; they were like warm as well. Like yeah.
Well, hopefully someone will be feeding all this back to the club and they'll, you know,
there's
going to be, well, do you know what I mean? But there's going to be teething problems, isn't there? We're trying to implement this new system and all that kind of stuff.
So. I mean, there was definitely some bits and pieces that needed to get sorted there. I know, like, Steve in particular had a real struggle getting in. You know, they jettisoned the idea of using the NFC and went told everyone to get to QR codes, right? And that sped things up in a number of queues. The queues was down Anfield Road towards Hotel Anfield because Peter, the owner of Hotel Anfield, showed me a photo late after the game about it. So yeah, there's clearly things that are not right about it, but I didn't have too many problems. I think I said to you afterwards, it didn't work for me instantly. And I got to trial it, so I was dead confident going up that I knew exactly what I was doing. It didn't work, and I had to like refresh it, and then I put the back of my phone to the thing, and then the NFC thing worked, so I was in. But
the guy for me just said like straight away, looked at it and put the QR code on, and then I had to throw it in there. So I was out of my comfort zone straight away because you taught me through how to do it and stuff, and I was like, hang on, this isn't what I've been taught. Anyway, it worked and I was in, and it was no problem. But yeah, the thing is, I was talking about this to somebody yesterday, is like that sort of another fellow I know who went in, so it took 30-40 seconds. Now if everybody takes 30-40 seconds when normally, like with a members card, or if the NFC's working, beep, you're in 5 seconds max and you're through the gate. Like, it's just exponential what happens at 30-40 seconds. Just it's like a wave just going through the
I always refer to this book, and I can't remember what it's called, unfortunately, but it talks about like sport, it's about sports people and about how you become good at what you do, and there's like conscious and unconscious competence, and the idea that when you become good at something, you do it without thinking, and that's what it's become. You know, it's the idea of second nature, isn't it? So you can just walk up, you know, you kind of your thing. Whereas when they brought those membership cards in, that was a nightmare when they brought them in as well. But it's easy to forget that, by the way, because back in the day, you just ripped your little ticket off and you handed it in, and someone went, hi, it was a person, and they let you in, and for a while you still had your cards, but there were still people on the turnstiles. They went automated a few years ago now, and that was all a problem along the way. But this thing is, and I had this with, I knew what I was doing, so it didn't fluster me too much when it didn't go right. But we all still have to stop, think, and act, as opposed to just, as you were saying there, it's just a reflex action, the old way of doing things, and that's going to take a little bit of acclimatisation.
Yeah. It's like everybody's sort of driven somewhere and gone, how did I get here? You're using your subconscious to do the driving at that point, aren't you? And we're all used to doing that at Anfield as well, because it's been so easy for so long.
Definitely. We didn't really talk too much about him, but we got a super chat in here from Virgil van Bong. Brilliant. Joel Matip appreciation. He's lost like 1 in 40. Mad. James, Joel Matip is just phenomenal.
He's one of the best centre-backs in the world. He's our best centre-back right now. Sorry, Verge, but he is. He was phenomenal. Doesn't put a foot. It's his footballing brain that impresses me the most. He's always in the right place. He's always available for a pass as well. And you know, we talked about it to death, but he's just a monster in the air. Anything is just fuck off. He's like, I run out of you know, expletives for him. He's something else, isn't he?
Yeah, he's brilliant, mate. And I think James is right. It's his position. It's his understanding of where his centre-back partner's going to be. There are players that I worry about who they're playing with. Now, it's not very often you worry about anyone that's playing with Virgil van Dijk, but to give a context, I've seen Matip play with everybody.
Yeah.
And he always seems to perform. You know,
themselves.
Yeah, that's it. Like, and he's just a dead safe pair of hands. And I remember when he first came into the football club, there was a lot of rumours about would he be sort of a DM, because he's done that as well, or would we see him being used there? I can't imagine him ever as a DM, to be honest with you. He just doesn't seem to have the skill set, because he's got everything to be a perfect almost centre-half, hasn't he?
Yeah, you can see, like, because it always happens, doesn't it? When you go up a level, you move back a level in terms of where you are in the pitch. But yeah, he's... So, what, 20 years ago, he'd have been an absolutely outstanding DM with Joel Matip in a Liverpool side. It's like when we talked about, like, how Nat Phillips would have been a nailed-on, no doubt, Liverpool centre half in the era where Jamie Carragher came through
when you had Hippie next room.
Absolutely. And just to add on to the Matip chat, Steve H here saying my preferred son-in-law would be Matip. What a gent. Nightmare son-in-law would be Alisson. Daughter would be instantly pregnant. But he's very religious though, so you know he'd be like, he's not wild, is he? He's not too crazy.
He only has to look at a woman and she's pregnant.
Like, yeah, he's a virile human being, isn't he? To be fair. Right, cool. We did have another one. Imran, Imi with the super chat saying, boys, where were you after the match on Saturday? Was waiting for you outside the ground. Yeah, sorry, mate. I bumped into a few people around Anfield after the game saying, where were you and why weren't you filming there or whatever. It's just not something we're doing at the moment, unfortunately. But yeah, we are. I will be floating around Anfield a bit more post-matches. I was actually going to go to the normal filming spot, but it was obviously absolutely pissing it down. So I opted for the cover of Hotel Anfield. But there you go. Yeah, people want to see more. We'll be more around Hotel Anfield, so do check that out. Right, we're going to move things forward a little bit. We've obviously talked a little bit about Shimacast there. Just the game, really, James, just to sort of reiterate. We've basically got a new cult hero on our hands, I think, there. You know, the whole Greek Scouser thing, the fact that he now isn't just like he's quite good at footy. He's got that battle and determination thing that I think really resonates with Liverpool fans.
Yeah, well, that's all you can ask, really, isn't it? That someone, you know, leaves everything on the pitch. But it's also his link-up play as well. You know, it's similar. I know we're going to move on to Harvey Elliott as well, but in a similar kind of vein, you know, having his head up, looking for a pass, looking to beat a man, looking to find space. But also, you know, if you pair that with real aggression and real, you know, that attitude that you write to reference, you know, that just you're not going to beat us. You're not going to fucking beat us. I don't care how many men you put on me. I'm going to deck the lot of you. That, I mean, you know. You're going to endear yourself to any football team, but Liverpool especially. And yeah, I just hope he gets more opportunities, because obviously Robbo coming back is going to, you know, impact, you know, quite how, you know, the opportunities that he's got. But yeah, I'd love to see him get more game time, because we've got a real player on our hands there. And for a long time, you know, excuse me, for a long time, you know, he comes in and we see a little glimpse of him, don't we? He plays a couple of little cup appearances, I think. And he's all right. He's fine. But at the time, you know, we're all, you know, lauding Andy Robbo for, you know, for good reason.
Well, Andy Robbo at the start of last season was probably, for the first 3 months, was our best player.
Oh, no, absolutely no questions. But how wonderful it is, again, that, you know, that Michael Edwards and Jurgen Klopp and the backroom staff have found another gem that nobody knew about. You know, no one was, you know, to my knowledge, was...
You have to be careful with this, because there's lots of... We have the pull off a very big Greek contingent who get very cross and be like, never even heard of Shimacast. He's like, he's a Greek international, Champions League football for God's sake. Yeah, I know, but none of us are really scouting.
Yeah.
Left backs around Europe, because we've got Andy Roberts.
Exactly. But even when we were looking for cover, because that was, you know, I think Jurgen mentions it as well at the weekend, that, you know, it's a it's a really hard position to fill, back up to a left back who's, I mean, aside from now, he's never fucking injured.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really, really hard sell to anyone. So fair play for Shimacast for coming in and obviously putting in serious amounts of work on the training pitch, because he doesn't look out of place at all against a really physical, horrible set of bastards at the weekend.
Yeah. I quite often talk about, like, the difference between knowledge and understanding on Red Men and stuff, because I think it's quite important. Like, you can see that he's got the knowledge, but I think what we've seen in the last two games is he understands it as well. You know, there is a difference between knowing something, having to do something on a football field when everything's moving at a million miles an hour and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that's brilliant that he's used that and he understands his role. What I also like is he's not scared to go inside either, which is quite a strange thing for a left back, because, you know, it quite often often we see Robertson go round the outside of Sadio Mane. There was a point there was a point there where I can't remember who it was, but he'd beaten his man a couple of times and gone past him. But he decided to go, well, I've done that twice, I'm going to go inside. And I think he plays the ball into maybe Mane's feet or something on the edge of the penalty area. Starts a really dangerous phase of play there as well. And the other thing, I suppose, that is quite, like, we all know it because we've seen him take the corners. That's a bit mad when you actually consider it. I mean, he's got to be, it's not just he's taking the corners because he's the left back. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to be very, very good at corners.
Yeah.
And clearly there's Trent Alexander-Arnold there who could quite easily just, in Robertson's absence, take every corner.
Yeah.
But he's not. So he's clearly, like, one of the best at the football club at corners as well. I think we've seen that over the last couple of games.
Yeah.
But also what that means in a knock-on effect is nobody else's role is changing within the penalty area. And that's huge when you're talking about set pieces, because remember we referenced this game quite a lot, but that was it, 3-3 draw against Watford, the first game of the season.
The one you did the video on.
And we did the video on that because James Milner, I think, isn't in the side after playing left-back the year before. And Milner and Wijnaldum, I think it was at the time, took up Milner's position.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everybody just moved one position. They're not doing what they normally do. Now, in an attacking sense, that's exactly the same. You want the lads doing what they normally do in those corners. If Kostas is in there, he's taking somebody else's job and they might move somewhere else because it might be a better fit. And all of a sudden, you might have 7-8 players not doing what they normally do at corners. So for him to just be able to take a corner and everyone else to do what they normally do is beneficial to the entire team.
Yeah, absolutely. Harvey Elliott, just lastly on the Burnley stuff, I quite enjoyed how he was clearly, match of the day gave him a little bit of attention. You know, they obviously spoke about him and waxed lyrical, and because the internet exists, everyone sees everything as being offensive to them in some way, shape or form, that it sparked some, I think it was a United fan on Twitter, or purportedly United fan on Twitter, saying how his star boy quality isn't as good as the star boy quality of Mason Greenwood and Phil Foden. And it was like, he's basically making his first appearance. Yeah. Like nobody's there going, Harvey Elliott, well, he's definitely better than Mason Greenwood and Phil Foden, whom he's
not on the internet anyway, you know what I mean,
and 3 years younger than. Any comparisons are just a bit fucking stupid and pointless, but I like the fact that he's so good that you can actually, if you then go and dive into it,
look at his stats.
Yeah, exactly.
His stats were great. His completed passes, his...
it's like the progressive passes that he does.
That's the progressive passes. That's the one. He was like first. He had like 90 something. I mean, he's unbelievable. Yeah. What a boy.
And this is the beauty of it, is that he's 18. He's only just starting this journey out. Chris, I know he's gone and done a year in the Championship, but at 17, he's gone and shone in the Championship, which is unreal. When you look at it, because we were talking about, we did the final word show and we said, look, there's a chance if either Ox or Fabinho are available, Elliott might not even play that game. But there's a real chance now, because I thought Ox was okay against Norwich, and the different teams, the different styles of play, and you know, again, having Jordan Henderson in the team makes the eighth position a lot easier.
Also playing at Anfield.
Exactly. But I came away from that, if you then had to pick between, if you had to pick between Elliott and Ox to start Chelsea based on what they did in those two appearances, I think most people would go with Elliott.
Absolutely. And I'd agree with that. If that's your body of work that you're looking at, just one game each, then Harvey Elliott had more impact and played better than Ox did against Norwich. Now, you know, going back to the sort of comments and the tweet about it with Mason Greenwood and Phil Foden and stuff, yeah, like, why are you comparing? It doesn't really matter to begin with for me. I mean, let's be honest, neither of them are as good as our boy won there, Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's won a Champions League and a Premier League and a Club World Cup.
Yeah.
What's Mason Greenwood won for Manchester United, for example? Absolutely nothing. Phil Foden, last season was his big year, so he's still behind on the trophy front, although he may have got another one as an absolute bit part player a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So this is the thing, like, the fact of the matter is this: Harvey Elliott is good enough to play for Liverpool, who are good enough to challenge for the Premier League title, and that's all you need to know. And Harvey Elliott is going to improve for the next 10 years.
Yeah, it's early doors, isn't it? You know, again, I don't think he's going to play. He's not going to play every game this season. What you want to get to a position, because I think, because Phil Foden is the benchmark for young English talent at the moment. You know, and to be fair, you're right, Trent is also. But in terms of that, playing in and around the forward three attacking midfield positions, why not Foden? But to the point, last season was his breakout season. He's 21 now. You know, he's been getting drip-fed into that side.
Brilliantly, by the way. Yeah. Really well
really
managed.
Well handled. Really,
yeah, and
well
I know, I don't think no one's going to sit here and say Phil Foden isn't exceptional. We'd all
he's amazing.
Love him. I'd make him sort of that his haircut out, like, you know what I mean? That's a very mank haircut he's got going on.
When in Rome.
Yeah. I mean, it probably...
Whereas looks, Harvey Elliott's haircut is...
Well, I know. It looks great matched with a cap of trachy, I understand, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it's...
I thought Harvey Elliott's interview that came out, was it yesterday or over the weekend, I thought was really interesting. Have you guys seen it? Really, really nice chat, and he talks about, it might have been last week it came out, he's being interviewed by one of his old...
It's been an interesting week.
It's been a heavy week. He's been interviewed by one of his old coaches from when he was learning, and he's talking about how, you know, adapting to playing for Liverpool and fitting in with that squad. And he says something along the lines of, I can't think
of them as world class.
That's what he says. Yeah, and I just think that's brilliant for a lad of his age to have the stones to say something like that, you know, because these are world class players. But to come out and go, well, no, when I'm playing with them, they're not world class players. They're just Mohamed and Sadio and whoever else. And I want to beat them. I want to compete with them, and I want to take their place. Yeah. That attitude of an 18-year-old is just, you don't see that very often.
The best players love that as well. Like, you know, because I think some of us think of it in life. What's that like? Imagine someone came in and they wanted your job, and they were young and hungry. Maybe you'd be like, well, actually, fuck off. I'll make life more difficult.
That's why I'm in the gym every day.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. Fighting for time there in the gym. but it's true, you know. But these are elite sports people with elite mentalities, and not all elite sports people have elite mentalities. But Liverpool have accrued a squad of people like this who want to be driven on, and they want to be better because they go, okay, cool. I'll raise my level as well, you know, and that's just.
Is there any wonder that Jose Mourinho's sides last for about 4 years when they used to be good in the first place? Mm-hmm. Because of the mentality that he puts into that squad of that us versus them, that's going to seep into every facet of your life, isn't it? It's going to seep into who's the backup right back. Well, it's me versus you, you know what I mean? And where what Jürgen does is completely different. He puts his arm around everybody, makes sure that it's for the, you know, for the greater good of the team, makes it fun and stuff like that, and you're seeing us reaping the benefits of our manager because he instills that into them.
It's that thing of great. One of the best examples of it is you remember that video from, I think it must have been the Champions League winning season. It was like in January, and it's Robbo and Trent doing like volleys to each other, like keeping the ball off the ground, and they're getting into it. And Jürgen just basically goes, it's a fucking rest day. Pack it in, you dickheads. Like, you know, I'm paraphrasing. But like, you get really cross with them because their competitive nature is spit, and they're meant to be chilling. But instead, they're egging each other on and more and more and more and more. And that's what he's done. He's made it a fun environment where it's like people coming in and aren't afraid to show what they've learned and come in and show their new skills and go, look what I can bench.
Yeah,
and he's like, well, let's see if I can do that as well. And everyone's dragged, because they always say, it's what my dad's all saying about, like, you're only as good as your best player. So you bring in a boss player and it elevates everyone. And so you've got this thing where now everyone's elevating everyone because somebody, it's recognised the uniqueness of the squad. Well, someone might be good at something, so you raise to that level. And all of the best things are all like, look at how good this guy is at doing this. It's in this incredible positive environment. There's a really interesting thing in Mel Reddy's book. And the only person that I've ever heard talk about why Buvac left, and she talks about basically because he was just too negative, and he was too, and Pep Linders come in with all this like
positivity
and Pep, no pun intended, but like, and Buvac was just didn't like that. It just rubbed him up the wrong way, so he was bringing negativity into the camp, and Klopp was like, I kind of don't need that anymore. And now you've got this all round positive environment where everyone's really, I just think it's wow. Yeah, it's just absolutely brilliant. And Harvey Elliott, yeah. Or you'd be made up to have this kid come in, because he would. He'd give you a kick up the arse.
I could watch that 50-yard ball from Verge onto Harvey's chest over and over again.
Yeah,
he chests it twice without breaking stride, doesn't he?
He does.
And then a touch. Oh, it's just, it's daft.
Let's talk just briefly about the other weekend's action. And this was the rest of what we call the challenges for now. And look, it's two games into the Premier League, so let's not make any cast iron things other than...
West Ham are going to win the league.
West Ham might well win the league. Look, City look irresistible, but also I had no expectation on Norwich doing anything, Chris, and obviously they did less than nothing really in that football match, which is fair. City are great, they look great, but I did get a great sense of comfort from City are doing City things there. They're absolutely snotting a team that they should be beating Well, but they already dropped points last week. So they're not, and I know the circumstances, they had a lot of players out, they're getting back up to speed, et cetera, but it gave me a great sense of, I was comforted by the fact that we've already got 3 points on Man City, just even
yeah,
the two
absolutely.
Games.
Yeah, absolutely. City are going to win 10 games by 4+ goals this season, because they always do.
Yeah.
Like, and you can expect it. And
it's whether they don't lose the stupid
yeah,
games.
That's it, isn't it? Now, the thing with City is, I'm not sure that I rate their defence as highly as Liverpool's when everybody's fit.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I'll tell you, I don't. Because I think, right now, I think Ruben Diaz is a really good player. I do like Kyle Walker as a right back. I think he gets a needless stick for being very, very good. Zinchenko / Mendy, I'm still a little bit unsure, although Zinchenko
definitely
last season
Mendy
was brilliant. The goalkeeper's not as good as ours. The partner, I think Laporte played at the weekend, although there's rumours that he might even be leaving before the end of the transfer window. So who goes alongside him? Is it Ake? Is it Stones? Something like that. Probably not as good as our centre-back partnership between the two of them. And they're always going to come unstuck against somebody that you don't expect. But the thing with City is they also have the ability to go 15 games winning on the bounce. And that's the problem with Manchester City when I look at them and go, I'll never write them off because they can just go and win loads.
They've got
of
goals
games
from
on the
everywhere
yeah,
as well, haven't
madness.
They? They've got goals from midfield, which is something that we've, you know, struggled with in recent times. So yeah, I think you're right. You know, they're just going to outscore everybody. That's the concern.
The thing about, like, because yeah, look, there was never a single doubt in my mind that City are just going to continue to be challengers. And at the moment, it does look. My strong feeling is this is going to have to be another 90+ point season if you want to win the league. And City will get 90+ points. There's a chance that Chelsea do as well. And I got real us vibes from Chelsea when watching that Arsenal game, where Arsenal was... everyone loves to jump on the Arsenal bandwagon because, of course, they don't do themselves. They're fans, a lot of their fans, and they're more filtering into your timeline fans, I should say, because I don't want to tar every Arsenal fan because that's nonsense. But obviously, they're almost famed for having fans lose their shit at this point. And I think it creates a bit more of it. It makes it seem more, and there's a lot of banter around Arsenal. Mm. I don't think we're that bad, particularly... I watched the first half properly, and I had the second half on the radio when I was driving somewhere. But they were okay. They were getting in the right positions. They were doing the right things. They were missing five really good first-team players, which, as we know, has a massive impact on your output. But Chelsea rode the luck a little bit and then just scored, like, effortless. Like, they had an attack. Reece James is completely unmarked because they've engineered that situation where he's got all that space. He puts it in, Lukaku sticks it in. Easy peasy. And it was very us, where it's just like they oozed class in that regard. It's like they don't need to be flat out tearing around the pitch 1,000 miles an hour trying to knock you out with every blow. When the opportunity demands it, it's a Chris Pajakism to talk about Real Madrid from when they battered us at Anfield, Chris, about how when it's go time,
so fast.
Yeah. When it's go time, and that's why I can't see how Chelsea wouldn't be contenders this season, albeit again, we're two games into the season.
Yeah, that's it. I think, you know, for me, the jury's still out on Chelsea. I think they'll easily break top four. I think they, you know, that's a given right now. I think the quality that they've got in the squad. They might have a better squad than Manchester City, like player for player. The depth of the squad, it's absolutely ridiculous when you look down, even past the bench, to be honest with you. But I've got to look at the end of last season, and they faltered at the end of last season. Yeah, they win the Champions League. Of course they do. I understand that. And it's brilliant that they managed to do that for them. But they weren't great in the league towards the end of the season, and they scraped into the top four, so they're not the finished article yet, and Tuchel will know that, and I think Chelsea fans will know that. But like what you're saying is, their players are going to get them out of trouble in the way that Manchester United's good players have got them out of trouble,
and they've got a better manager
in Thomas Tuchel. So for me, Chelsea are going to be there. I'm putting them a rung below Liverpool and City, and I'm putting Man United below a rung below Chelsea until I see it.
I agree with that on the United thing. I thought it was funny how, and again, it happens every season, doesn't it, James? Everyone gets carried away. And I'm wary about doing this with us, by the way, because we've only beaten Norwich and Burnley. But it's also a worthwhile point that if you substitute Norwich for, pick, you know, another team from the champ who came up from the Championship the season before, we dropped points. We struggled massively against newly promoted
sides
last
season. Paul, the same way that I just looked back on Chelsea at last season and City at last season, well, I haven't seen this Liverpool side last season. I saw it the season before. Yeah. So I'm going, and my knowledge is coming from the year before when all these lads were fit.
That's exactly it. The facts are Chelsea, you know, like you say, stumbled. They were inconsistent in the league last year, I think is probably the correct phrase. But they've added to that squad.
And they were making up for Lampard though, weren't they? I think
they were still in a transitional period. But now they've got an absolutely fantastic manager. I've got so much time for Tuchel. I think he's really, really, really strong. And I think, you know, you can already see the progression that he's made. And similar to us, they've added to that squad. They've added, you know, Lukaku. Bringing in Lukaku is a fantastic bit of business. I mean, he looked incredible at the Euros. But anyone that's questioning Liverpool, and I know it's, you know, it's still rumbling on this lack of transfers, yada, yada, yada. But if everybody's fit, this is the same squad, the same team that won the Premier League, that won the Champions League. However, we've got a brand new defender. We've got Thiago Alcantara. We've added
another forward.
We've got Diego Jota, who, you know, Jota the slotter. The kid can't stop fucking scoring. So we've progressed. They've progressed. United have progressed. But so then for me, it just boils down to the management. It just boils down to the coach and who's training these lads up. And that's where Manchester United are going to fall flat, because that's not somebody that, like Alex Ferguson. If he buys Jadon Sancho, he throws him straight into that squad. He makes Jadon Sancho feel 10 foot tall, tells him he's world class and goes, "No, just go and batter him. Go and do a load of Jadon Sancho shit. Go and do it really, really well." And he goes and does it. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's keeping him on the bench. He's giving Greenwood half a match. There's all kinds of issues with...
They're still a bit all over the place. Absolutely inconsistent. I mean, no Rashford until, I think, October, potentially, for them as well. And Martial's just coming back in. I mean, again, it's early. We're not seeing the best version of any of these sides, which is why I'm wary about getting too
hyped
up.
Klopp said it himself. It's an extended pre-season at this point.
Yeah, 100%. It's like this every year. And that's why it's about... Because people seem to be like...
Points is what it's about now.
Exactly. I wasn't arsed. I was more arsed that Alisson saved us a clean sheet, because it would have been nice to win 3 or 4, and I think we did enough. Another day maybe we could have come away with that, particularly, you know, the fine margins for Salah's disallowed goal. It was offside, but whatever. Just get that clear, because the psychology of winning that game, and again, goes back to it, they're points that we dropped last season. That's three whole points better off now than we were last year, because we lost at Anfield to Burnley, simple as. And I've seen people equate it to Norwich to Fulham, say, well, there's points that we dropped again. We'll see. Arsenal, just briefly then, because it's always worth having a bit of a chat about them. They just look in massive trouble. And I would contend, because Arteta said pre-match, he was like, looks like the pressure's on. And he went, yeah. Like, the pressure's on every game. And for him to reference it, he knows it, they all know it. They're all so psychologically damaged around that football club, because they feel that pressure so intently. It's in the stands, it's on social media, it's on from every football club, by the way, because Liverpool have got horrible fans too. But the it's a global
I read somewhere, and I've not checked this out because I don't even know where to start, but I read that Arteta has already lost as many home games in 20 months as Wenger did in his last 6 years.
Jesus Christ.
His last 6 years. They were calling for him out for six of those years.
Do you know where they fucked it? They'd kill for that regular Champions League football, wouldn't they?
Do you know why they fucked it? And this is all about perception. And it's like this idea that Liverpool don't get credit for finishing second in the league on 97 points, because you finished second, didn't win the league. When we go, well, 97 points wins you every league title apart from the Centurions and the season we finished second. And then obviously the season when we win it with 99 points the season after. But you didn't win it, you finished second. It's like, yeah, but Arsenal finished outside of the top four with a points tally that was getting them to top four regularly, and everyone thought Arsenal had regressed because they finished outside the top four. They didn't. They were exactly the same as they were, but the stupid perception was that we're worse. They weren't. They were exactly the same.
Everyone else
the league
better.
Got better, and that's a different argument, by the way, because you need to, if your opposition's getting stronger, then you do need to grow with that. But Arsenal were at the level, and they all lost their heads over it and decided that it was time to go. And rest in peace, by the way. But it's mad. It's genuine.
The recruitment's been terrible.
They're a fucking shit show.
The recruitment's been terrible. Yeah. Throwing around money on aging players, and how much have they just bought? Is Ben White they just bought
50 million?
That's mental.
They spent like 130 million, I think.
Ben White doesn't improve. But that becomes
an added length of rope, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You're seeing it again. That kid. And by the way, that kid shouting in his car. It's all an act. I wouldn't take that seriously. No. You can tell it's put on. Like, it's quite uncomfortable as a result of it. But he's got the touch points there, the most money spent by anyone in the window. That matters to people. And this is because you can see it, because it matters to some Liverpool fans who are like, look how little we've spent. Doesn't matter how much you spend. It's that your squad's right and your recruitment's right. How much you spend is irrelevant as long as you've got the right players for your squad. And Arsenal, to the point, it seems a bit disjointed. I mean, that being said, just the point I made earlier, Chris, you know, I don't think they're as bad as people think. I think people think they're going to get relegated, and they're not. Because whether you think Ben White's worthy at £50 million, he's still a good defender. He's a good ball player in centre-half, and there's not loads of them around there. You put him in, that's better. Thomas Partey's the best DM. Put him in that side, they'll be better for that. You put Aubameyang in there, they'll be better because they've got an actual centre-forward on the pitch, and they've bought Odegaard, he'll be available, and he was probably their best player in the back end of last season. Really good player. So you put them lads in. That's still a bloody good side when you have Saka and Martinelli
the thing
and Tierney,
is,
etc.
When you're adding £130 million of players, it's not all in one go. You've got to integrate 3 or 4 or 5 players into the side as well. So not only are you missing players, but you've got to integrate new players in. But it's going to take time for Arteta to be able to gel that side together. And the likelihood is, look, right now, it doesn't look like he's going to get the time.
But what you're saying there about integrating and gelling and bringing in new players and getting it, if from the outside looking in, it feels like this is just the cycle that Arsenal go through every single season, that they're always in transition, that they're always trying to blood new players in, that they're never quite the finished article.
That's what happens
always,
when you don't win.
Well, exactly. But all Arsenal fans want to see is some progression. They just want to see that they're getting closer to challenging for honours.
You've got to breathe around that though, haven't you though? And Everton are in this position as well, and hiring Benitez will not aid that in any way, shape or form, but like it becomes a poison chalice. So they're already talking that he's got until the international break in October or November or whatever to if they're in bad form by then he'll go.
Arteta,
the rumours are all sort of floating around with that. I mean, Liverpool, you thrive in them situations if you're good enough. But
look, Liverpool, when Klopp came in 3-4 years away from being league winners, weren't they? You know what I mean? And that's kind of where it is, and we forget that sometimes. What Arsenal are looking at is they're not only just looking at their football team, they're looking at Chelsea, they're looking at Manchester United. How far away have Manchester United been from winning the league, and for how many years? It's not a quick fix. Like, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is recruited well, to be fair to him. He's been backed well, and he's improving that side.
Whether you think he's a good manager excitingly. Or
not, yeah, well, whether you think it or not, he's got closer to winning the league than David Moyes did.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe not Van Gaal or Jose Mourinho, but they've fallen quite far and they're going back up. Arsenal have fallen further than anybody has out of the top four for me in terms of quality in their team. Chelsea have never been not been a Champions League side with the quality of players. They've always been 2 or 3 players away. They've got those 2 or 3 players over the last 18 months and they're close. City and Liverpool have been there. Arsenal are miles away from us in terms of teams. Yeah. It's not a one window last piece of the... They're not going, we need the last piece of the jigsaw. They're going, we need to sell everything and start again.
Yeah.
That's a completely different job.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what I keep hearing season upon season upon season, is that there isn't that progression.
Man United have understood that it's important. You know, they can sustain themselves outside of Champions League football because they're just a mega entity and they're not going anywhere ever, as much as we'd love that to be the case. But they've understood the value in spunking money on things, because perception's important in football. So you can continue to look like a big club and behave like a big club, and you're spending big club wages, which is a massive financial gamble. There's a reason why they're in loads and loads and loads of debt off the back of it. But they are... It's a worthwhile endeavour. As Arsenal have gone within themselves, they need to build up from a really... They're trying to do it organically, but now they're in a position where they've waited so long and they've doubled down on Mkhitaryan for a while and they doubled down on Aubameyang and Lacazette, who were all past the best years of their career on ridiculous money. And now there's a real disbalance in that squad that they need to get to. But who the fuck wants to play for Arsenal?
No one.
Because because they're not
London's not enough.
Yeah,
London's not enough. There, I look at it right, and I think Man United's a really good side to compare Arsenal to. Arsenal, Man United's back five are all better than Arsenal's. Luke Shaw, Wan-Bissaka, Varane, Harry Maguire,
and pick one of the keepers better than both, better than Arsenal, both of their keepers, including the new one. You know what I mean? So their back five sorted. They've got Bruno Fernandes, they've got Rashford, they've got Paul Pogba. You know, these are lads that get in every team in the Premier League, bar maybe three. Right? Arsenal haven't got that. Anywhere,
there's one player
anywhere
in that.
On their pitch.
Yeah, there's two.
Tell me one player from Arsenal. You go. He walks into every other side.
100%. There's you're talking. You're getting to squads then, aren't you? Because there's like I'd take Saka. I'd have Saka all day. But where does he play in Liverpool's best 12 or 13 or 14? Doesn't. He'd probably be fine. But you wouldn't be like, I'm definitely taking such and such out for him. You'd happily, if you had to play him in a number of positions, you'd be fine with that. But you wouldn't be like, I'm picking my best team for Liverpool, Chelsea at the weekend.
Any of them midfielders, you think? Well, let's have him.
But then it comes down.
Thomas Partey's very good.
It comes down to the manager, then, doesn't it? Because if, you know, a manager like Jurgen Klopp with a player like Saka, you know, imagine what he could do with Saka in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, imagine what he could have done with Jesse Lingard. You know, imagine.
See what he did with Ox.
Exactly. Imagine what, you know, look what he's done with Andy Robber. Look, you know, Arteta is not going to improve these lads to a level that where they need to be, that they're competing for honours. He's just not. And neither's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, by the way.
Could do this all day long. It's great.
It's great.
Just briefly then, Shaqiri's joined Leon. We're going to be doing more on this. We've done a Redmen Reacts. Chris and I are chatting a bit more in depth and detail about that. It's streaming right now on the RedmenTV.com. We're going to do it on the Reds Transfer Roundup show tomorrow as well. Farewell, Sweet Power Cube. Got a favourite memory moments?
Oh God, Barcelona, the assists for Wijnaldum. You know, being that stage in his career, you know, where he's already had lots of nearly moments, and he's such a talented footballer. We bought a really, really talented footballer there who in so many sides is in the starting 11.
Yeah.
And he comes in that game where we've got players missing, and he comes in and does a job like that. And he's also the one who's basically responsible for Mourinho getting the sack. Yeah. So
that was the one I was going to mention.
There's two fantastic Shaq moments.
Yeah,
for
Barcelona,
you.
Man United for me.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, just that thing, because people forget sometimes, because, you know, United at Anfield used to come and their mission is just come and get a draw at Anfield and be so frustrated with it. And him just coming off the bench and just finishing them off was absolutely glorious. Yeah, let us know your favourite Shaq moments in the comments. Lastly then, Chelsea at the weekend, Virgil van Dijk versus Lukaku. Battle for the ages, potentially. I mean, if ever we needed to know where Virgil van Dijk was at, James, it would be helpful to know that he's as close to ready as possible, because just based on that, on a one-game evidence of Lukaku, that's not the lad who left Man United.
That's the lad who played for Everton.
That's very much the lad who played only better, which is terrifying. You know, it's very much the lad who's been tearing up Serie A. That's going to be a hell of a battle at the weekend.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the one that everyone's going to be focusing on. But you're right, what you mentioned earlier on about, you know, it being an extended pre-season. Virgil's had a bit more of his extended pre-season now, and he got a nice taste of it, and he's had 90 minutes, and he looked good. He looked really, really good. You know, Burnley were, you know, they're not a complicated outfit to defend against, but they're a physical.
It's a lovely way to have a go at them. They're not a complicated outfit.
They're
brilliant.
Not, but they're very physical, and they're very.
Paul noticed their players were numbered 1 to 11, and they played a 4-4-2 at the weekend. Oh, it's God, the least complicated
perfect.
Side there's
it's
ever
just,
been.
It couldn't be any better. Like,
just the name
simplicity.
The numbers were stitched onto the back of the shirt, with a heavy cotton.
Yeah, but yeah, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be the one that, you know, everybody's talking about, and Lukaku's just what a player he's come back. I mean, he was incredible at the Euros. I can't wait. It's going to be fascinating.
I don't think there's going to be much of a battle, to be honest with you.
Do you not?
No, I don't think they're going to be. I don't think our defenders are stupid enough to try and challenge him and win the ball.
Okay.
I think it's going to be one of them where the battle is in how do we make him think we're challenging so that he thinks he's under pressure. Like, you don't go in aggressively against Lukaku because you're going to lose the ball. Mm-hmm. So it's about making sure that you actually don't make the challenge, and you're almost to use a line that we used to use growing up that never gets used anymore, jockey him.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean, like that's the thing.
I've heard
like,
that for years.
Exactly. It's just
show him down the line
of our vocabulary is it's jockey him, lad. Like, what do you mean, just sort of like fucking this,
get on his,
why
get on his back,
are you fucking mad, I get fucking locked up. Maybe that's why it left.
I want to see Virgil on his back.
But so for me, it's about like I think about the goal that he scored against Arsenal, and the defender, Mari, dives in aggressively, loses the ball, and he's out of position. Lukaku's around the back of him.
Yeah.
That's got to be, you've got to be there and you've got to be running back. You don't try and actually win the ball.
And this is my concern on the Virgil van Dijk thing, is that I think he's trying to get in front of it. He's been a bit, dare I say, Lovren-ish in pre-season. He's been a bit rash in where he's come out of defence trying to get that ball one high up the pitch. And you're right, that could get him into a spot of bother. The thing that we've got going for us is that you're cutting out the supply is what you want to do. And if you're pressing in the right areas, so if you're pressing, you want to press Jorginho, which is a difficult thing to do.
And I think he's taking his game up a level with the Euros and winning that, and winning the Champions League. He's going to be like...
There's a chance he gets Ballon d'Or this year, which is mad, isn't it? You know, for Jorginho to think about that cycle of where he's come from at Chelsea. But yeah, you cut the supply lines up, but also this is the thing about target men. And I know he's not a traditional target man, so it's not like you think about it, like he's going to jump up and win things in the air. He wants to bring the ball in. He wants balls to feet as much as anything else. But this is where you bring Fabinho back in. And we've struggled against target men for years.
I mean, until we got Fabinho?
Exactly. And even till Matip and Van Dijk, now you've got that potential triangle. And there's also the potential there where maybe Konate is one for this game. I wouldn't, because I think you go with dependability. Mm. But there's something to... Konate's clearly got this kind of situation in mind because he's 6'5", he's massive, he's got Van Dijk's frame, but he's clearly much more of a battler than Virgil is, and you know, the recovery pace as well.
If you're going up against Godzilla, you bring on King Kong, don't you? Yeah, you have that, you know, toe-to-toe.
Yeah, go for get your biggest fellas on there and go, yeah, exactly. But hopefully Liverpool just get to be a bit more, hopefully a bit cannier, and rather than go, because you're right, if you're just going for a... You're not. If some guy's really good at arm wrestling, don't arm wrestle him. Kick him in the balls. Yeah. you know what I mean? If you want to win that fight,
cut off the supply and mark him out of the game.
Absolutely. Good point here. Actually, I didn't want to mention it at the time, but jockeying is very much in the current vernacular because there's the jockey button on FIFA. So a lot of people will have got that. Yeah. Okay. I don't think.
It's not a match out
anymore. They now won't be able to disassociate pressing L2 with Chris doing this now.
Well, you can tell I don't play FIFA.
Yeah, absolutely.
But very exciting indeed, and we will be talking more about Liverpool-Chelsea on the Untended Match Build-Up Show, which will be streaming live later on this week as well. But yeah, thank you so much for everyone for joining us for the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks to James, to Chris, and for you guys for tuning in or listening in podcast form as well. We've got the Reds Transfer Roundup show to come on Wednesday, streaming exclusively on the RedmenTV.com. We're going to talk more about Shaq. We will talk potentially about the one English club that's had a little sniff around Kylian Mbappe. Is it Liverpool? You'll have to watch that show to find out. I've no idea, but we'll find out. So yeah, tune in for that. And don't forget as well to pick up your Jordan Henderson 10 Years of Red book as well. That is available right now. See you all soon. Podcast back next week. Ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.